I'm Hannah, and this is Graveyard Gathering, my own little writing graveyard where things are aged, knocked over, and imperfect. A place for my work as a necromancer to explore all of the things with death and great morbidity and, I'm sure, lots of grave mistakes. Come gather around. I'd love to talk to you. Continuing with themes with my mother and taking in directions I did not expect, my mother just asked me to do her first tarot reading with her. Or her first in, not probably in her life, but her first in a very long time. She's had friends that have read cards, but she didn't know anything about it. She had me educating her on tarot and doing a traditional Celtic cross spread for her. And I was so excited. I was so excited that my mom was interested, and I was so excited that my mom wanted to explore this and just felt comfortable and safe. And she got out her notebook. She took notes the whole time. We went through every single card. She was very detailed and interested. And I have to tell you, as the reader, sometimes it's hard. Because you can ask questions or receive information that you don't want to know the answer to. I did not expect when my mom asked me to go through with her that spirit was going to hit me in my face. Hearing about my father dying via reading tarot cards for my mother was not, and then not being able to, like, trying to keep a straight face for my mom. I mean, thankfully she didn't get, like, any tower cards or death cards. So, like, I'm able to kind of, for some of it, you know, I glossed over things. I glossed over. She was like, I'm only on number 9. How come you're saying we're on card number 10? And I'm like, oh, yeah. So I didn't go too deep into this card, Mom. And trying to broach with her, like, okay, so we're addressing the fact that change is coming. And we're addressing the fact that we have some fears here. And, you know, Spirit is informing me things. And I'm looking at these cards and I'm like, I literally out loud was like, hey, Spirit, some of this is information I don't want to know. Some of this is information that is not my business. Hey, Spirit, remember that I'm her daughter. I didn't end up saying that last part out loud to Spirit because I didn't want to freak my mom out. I was like talking to my mom and I'm like trying to hide what I'm doing. So I was like, well, yeah, you know, sometimes I have to tell Spirit, hey, this isn't my business. Meanwhile, I'm like going, yeah, Spirit, you know exactly what the fuck I'm talking about. And to my mom, it's just a cute little example of me going, yeah, no, sometimes it's the reader. You got to be careful. And she's, of course, immediately launching into her example of the witches that she's known and had relationships with who had stopped being diviners and readers because they kept, one of her friends got a reading where she was given a, you know, traumatic information about someone and couldn't handle that anymore and had to stop. And I'm sitting here like, yeah, I wouldn't know anything about that. But I guess Spirit's trying to get my attention because right before I gave my mother her tarot reading for the first time ever, my daughter comes downstairs seeking comfort from me because she is worried about specifically Papa, but also Mima, passing away because they're old. And she wanted to know exactly how many years and how many sleeps left she could expect out of her grandparents, trying to prepare herself and her little heart for her grief. She's like, I love them. I want to keep them. Right before my mother's reading started, she is voicing concerns about losing my father and how she's not sure she could handle that and how there are things in her life that kind of my father's blocking right now and da 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 da. And then the reading unfolds and I'm like, oh, thanks, Spirit. Thanks for putting all of these pieces together for me. Thanks for lining that one up and hitting it out of the park. Fuck. And there were great affirmations in that reading. It was not all doom and gloom. There were wonderful things said and great overarching supports and da 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 da. And I really leaned into those with my mom. The thing that like rocked my fucking cookies is Spirit being like, you gonna fucking prepare yourself? Because it's coming. The thing is that I've been preparing for my father to die since I was 10 years old. He had a heart attack when I was 10, went under a quadruple bypass, and nearly kicked the bucket in surgery after, you know, a heart attack situation, which he'd ended up having 2 heart attacks when I was 10. So it was a whole deal. I've had to face my dad's mortality for now going on 20 years. And it still hits different. And I don't have, like, I'm not gonna front here. I could have looked deeper and asked more questions about timelines, but as soon as it became clear to me the direction that the reading was going and the messages that were happening and what Spirit was telling me, I was like, nope, I don't fucking want to know. Spirit was like, those are questions you can ask. And I was like, no, I'm not asking. I'm specifically now fucking asking. Don't you dare. But I recognize, like, especially considering that the overarching messages were like, everything's gonna be all right. My mom and I were even brought to the song, everything's gonna be all right. And like Spirit was outlining our support systems. Like Spirit was really, I was like, almost like too much. I don't know. The fact that it was, that Spirit was outlining support systems and structures very specifically and laying out very specific people, relationships, and roles, did not help me try to skate around, oh yeah, we'll have all this great support because dad'll be dead. I'm saying that really matter-of-factly, and I would like you to know that I'm crying. This isn't the first time that I have had Spirit let me know someone in my family's going, you know, that there's shit happening. So I'm extra frustrated because I have been given warnings before that have then been fulfilled. So before I did the reading for my mother, it literally directly before, my daughter had come down and asked me about, she was seeking comfort and brought up her papa dying and just needed reassurance from me. And she knows her mommy's a witch and she knows her mommy's a necromancer, but most importantly, she knows that I'm her mommy and that I'm going to answer her questions. So I told her, I said, honey, we are living in a very sad time in that all over the country right now, all over the world, we're in that pandemic that is meaning that a lot of people all over the world right now are having to face the fact that we die. And I was like, you're not the only person, baby, that's scared of this. Right now, you and so many other people in the world are facing the fact that we die. So I said to my baby, I said, hey, mommy talks to dead people. And the dead people have told mommy that dying is like being born and that we don't remember it. It's not the most significant part of that. And we keep going. And I did not tell her that I knew every mystery. I did not tell her I knew the whole process. I don't. I want to front for my kid. I just like, I know that we keep going. And I know that we get to be together. And that's got to be enough. It's kind of all the reassurance that I can give you. But I hope that you know that I'm not scared. And that I don't think it's going to be scary. But it's also okay to be sad by the fact that it physically separates us. And that separation makes us sad. What Spirit reminded me in that moment, I did not tell this to my daughter because it would have been over her head and freaked her out. But what Spirit leaned into me in that moment was, Hannah, as humans, we spend more time dead than alive, so to speak. I will only be Hannah for however many years I'm granted on this earth, but the earth will continue to rotate and I'll be dead for a lot longer. Except that I believe that I'll probably end up back around on here. A consciousness behind a pair of eyes. My mother told me today that she first heard of soul contracts in 1966 when she was hanging out with her friends who were witches, whose mother was a witch. Her mother ended up getting, again, freaked out and abandoning witchcraft for Christianity. I don't know how long that stayed either way, but these people that my mom fucked around with, my mom's like, yeah, they would tell me that we go and we're dead, and we talk to someone and we talk about the lessons that we want to learn and what those lessons are kind of going to look like. And then that's how we come down into these bodies. And I'm like, Mom, that's soul contracts. It's a thing. It's really popular right now, Mom. And she's like, I don't know everything about soul contracts, to be honest, but my understanding was that whatever spiritual entity we are, we continue working through lessons and we sign up specifically to work on different lessons. That's kind of my idea of what soul contracts are. And that was very interesting that my mother had random conversations about that particular concept in 1966. My whole family, in its matrilineal line from my mother to myself to my daughter, all have really specific fears surrounding the death of the patriarch, surrounding the loss of my father. He has really significant relationships. And it was interesting to see how in that reading, my husband came up. My husband was, you were the last card in the whole reading for Mom. And that was very, there was reassuring parts of the fact that my husband, being the support system and mantle coming up in my mom's reading was very cool and very reassuring. But it was another kind of affirmation of the way power and mantles move in families, but through loss and change. I don't know the timelines of everything, and I didn't ask. And our family is very committed to day-to-day appreciation of each other. I have angrily told the universe that I want 10 more years with my father. And I hope and pray that this reading for my mom is that kind of stretched out. But that might be wishful thinking. I'm sitting here with the frustrated cost of any divination, which is that you risk the fact that sometimes there's shit you might not want to know. I thought this was going to be a fun journey of introspection into my mother, and the entire reading was a warning. Sure, it had lots of good reassurance in it, and I was able to give my mom a lot of good affirmations and positive things, and a good introspective look at her. And we had probably a 2-hour long conversation. That was really beautiful. It is hard for me as the person who was doing that, who can't control sometimes the shit that comes through. I was like, oh, there's information here that I really don't want. We only ever have each day with each other. That's it. So, that's all you ever get. And this was certainly a reminder of that, but I don't usually feel like I forget that. I live so much of my life conscious of the fact that everything always ends, and that is what gives it value. I try to spend really specific times savoring relationships and savoring moments because I know that they are brief. We are brevity as beings. That doesn't even help grief enough because time is ever passing. You can never really savor anything long enough. But you hold on to those precious things that you savored to get you through the times where you feel like you might not be able to keep going. I know at some point in my adult life, I will have to face burying my father. And it will, regardless of when it comes, come too soon, because there will never be a good time for me to lose my dad. So its timing is not something that I sit in general fear of, because it won't matter if it's tomorrow or if it's when I'm 55. It'll hurt. I am actively spending time trying to forget the cards and forget the worry and forget any tears shed now, because I don't have to put credit on pain I have not yet experienced. I am trying very hard to divorce myself from outcomes and timelines and tell myself that I generally try to avoid knowing exact timelines from spirit on most things, unless it's something that I want. When it's a thing I want them to give me the clearest, most accurate timeline possible. When it's a thing that I don't want to have happen, I want the vaguest possible fucking terms. I'll be like, oh, don't want. So now I'm like trying to run away. And thank God, you know, like my dad and my family don't listen to my podcast because I could cause rumbles. No, I love my mother, but she was in tears at the beginning of the reading, talking about how she's very afraid that she could never lose my dad because he is the keeper of her most private thoughts. And it's a very sacred place, and she will feel so alone without it. So, to have the reading go that direction, and I can't tell her that. I can't tell her, like, yeah, man, this could suck. And it doesn't matter that Spirit's telling you you're gonna get through it. It doesn't matter that Spirit says there's something at the end of the rainbow or whatever. Doesn't matter. So I'm sitting there trying to like go through this and keep it like a positive experience. Oh, and so now here I am on my little talkie blog going, I had this really beautiful time of sharing with my mom that came at a really fucked up cost. So I took a few minutes and I shed some tears about it because I still have to process the fact that that was a triggering experience. But what I told my mom is, we never know if the storm is coming is going to be the 2020 derecho, or if it's just going to knock around some branches. We don't always know the size of the storm that's coming, and you can batten down the hatches and you can try to prep for the big storm, but you can't live in the constant state of preparation and not appreciation of the moment. So right now, the indicators aren't showing that it's a tornado watch. Right now, it says that, well, yeah, sometime in this year, you're going to get a storm, or sometime in this space, you're going to get a storm. Okay. Yeah, we can almost guarantee that, can't we? And we can know that our network is going to get us through it. So my mom was telling my husband when he came in, because the delightful man went up and made us cheese sticks and brought it to us for our little slumber party tarot reading time in mom's room. Where was the Ouija board? The Ouija board was in one of my mom's spooky stories about a time she did a Ouija board. She was in a really fun woo-woo mood. My mom looks at him and she's like, you know, we're exploring the obvious. And the obvious really is that we're all going to have storms, and thank God when you have a support network to help you get through them, right? Like, those are very obvious key value things. But whenever we're considering the fucking storm, we tend to focus a lot more on the storm and a lot less on the support network that we have that gets us through it, right up until we have to go utilize the support network. It still was a really fun and beautiful experience, because there were times where the cards that she pulled made me laugh so hard. The card she pulled that was supposed to be reflective of her current positions was all about someone who was carrying all these burdens and was overcommitted. And I was just like, look at you, look at you. I made her look at the card before we went to any of the interpretations or anything, but I'm like, I want you to just look at this card and tell me how you feel about the imagery. There were just really great moments of her pulling as, Dad was definitely the Emperor, and her making that connection as well was just great. And so those things, those affirmation times were really, really beautiful and in many ways funny. It was not an experience that I would have traded. But not all truths are easy to bear. The truth has always been that my father's health is fragile. So I don't know what that can look like for our family. We're going to have to weather whatever storms come. That's what we do. And yeah. So sometimes, at least in my own experience and in my own life, I have had sometimes spirit get a little too prediction-y on, it's like I have a banshee, except that I don't have a banshee. Banshees are traditionally death wailers, omens of death. I get into banshee lore because, duh. And so there have been times where I have definitely felt banshee energy and the spirits of death omens in my family, and I'm just like, super not in the mood. Although, admittedly, I don't know anyone who is like, ooh, I'm in the mood for some wailing banshee. Wailing death omen banshee. That sounds like a fun Saturday night. But the overarching theme of my entire night that spirit's trying to hammer into me specifically is that we are all meant to die. It is a part of our process. It is a part of our nature. It is ingrained in us on a cellular level, and it is okay. It is not the big fear. Though for many of us, it is expressed in big fear. It does not actually have to be the big fear.
I don't even have the courage to listen to that. I don't. I remember that reading with my mother. I'm still astounded that my mother let me do a reading for her. That is not on the list of shit that I ever dreamed would happen. I never thought my mother would be like, help me learn manifesting, help me get in a better mindset, read my cards, I want to do this, da da da. I'm like, who are you and what have you done with my mama?
And as nervous as I am that in that particular reading, I was given the information that my father may die, I just look at spirit like, what the fuck am I do with that? The fuck am I going to do with that? I've been knowing. I've been worried that man is going to die since I was 10 years old. His health has been fragile. We went to Colorado. My dad fell and fucking broke his hip. My mom made it 10 hours to a road trip. I had to drop her off in Denver and she had to fly home. My father is like a fairy. He is so delicate. Man might be 6'5", and he might be a good 280 pounds, but he be delicate. Like fine fucking china that's already been chipped a lot. So I don't know. I don't fucking know. I can't do anything about that at all. The number of the days of those that I love is not a... See, spirit already done. I done asked questions in my life that I didn't want the answers to. I have been there, done that shit. Let me tell you from experience, don't fucking ask spirit when you're about to die. Don't ask spirit what your days are. Don't fucking ask those questions. It's a dumb thing. Don't do that shit. We're not really supposed to know. Me knowing about the family members that I have known about that were going to die helped me none. It has never in any way prepared me for the blow of that grief. Because right up until it is your reality, you don't believe that that is your reality. It is just, it don't compute. My father is supposed to have been dead so many goddamn times over. That man has lived a rambling life that he's lucky to have made it this far. And he, among others, is astounded that he is so. My dad was supposed to get jumped and murdered. There was a guy at a construction site one time that dropped a big forklift thing and was trying to drop it on my father and almost did. There was, you know, industrial accidents and shit. My father's been burned by a welding torch. He's fallen off the roof. He has hit himself with the chainsaw in the leg and wouldn't go to the hospital and made my husband play combat medic. My father once created a mushroom cloud in the burn barrel of our backyard and fried his eyeballs off, filling a burn barrel with gasoline and throwing a box of matches in it, and then later set the neighbor's yard on fire. My father has been supposed to been dead. We are the hillbillies who bring down the relatively middle-class, suburban, Midwestern neighborhood that we live in. We are the Clampets. My father was drafted in Vietnam. And then was discharged for the betterment of the military. I'm pretty sure my grandfather pulled strings so that he wasn't dishonorably discharged because my grandfather was a fucking World War II war hero. But my daddy ain't. He ain't that guy. And he was always getting in goddamn fights. Always, because he was always the biggest motherfucker wherever he was. My mother is 2 foot shorter and 100 pounds lighter than my father. And she's like, oh, we'd be in bars and people would just pick fights with your daddy because he's big. And my daddy could fight for a long time, right up until, see, my father didn't have me until he was 40. And by then he was well past his prime. And then when I was a teenager, my dad was in his mid 50s and he once got in fisticuffs because he was drunk at the gas station. And this little guy, this short man who picked a fight with my father, laid his ass out. And my daddy was mad that my 13-year-old ass did not get into fisticuffs with him. Welcome to my childhood. My mother is a therapist. I was like, sir, you did not teach me how to fight. I don't know why you expect my scrawny little ass to get in there when you are being dumb. Because you are drunk and you are dumb and you could have let this shit go. But you got knocked on your ass. That is me and my father. He tells me he loves me by going, eh, fuck you. That's... So I don't know what to do with this information. I've had his eulogy written since I was 10. But I do worry because right at the beginning of that reading, my mother cried. Not knowing how she could live without that son of a bitch. Because as much as I love him, and sometimes he has been an absolute pile of shit as a father, he's been a really good husband to my mama. And he tries really hard to be a good granddaddy to my kids. All of them. And so, fuck. I don't know. He's always been knocking on death's door. I can't do anything that stops that from happening. I feel like I've already gone through the loss of a father because my papa, who was my grandfather, the one who walked me down the aisle when I got married, the one who was there at the birth of my first child, the one who my water broke over his grave with my second, he was my father for most of my life. And suffering that loss, that one hurt. And my daddy, who had wild disagreements with my papa, particularly over my treatment, because my papa couldn't stand it, he stood up there and sang with me at the funeral of my grandfather because this family has weird shit about forgiveness, man. I don't know. I suppose we're a lot like other people. We put things aside for death. Death, you put aside all your beefs and your petty shit because somebody died. And I don't know. We just all come together. We circle the wagons when somebody dies. But goddamn, sometimes it's the only times we can fucking come together. It's disgusting. Welcome to my dysfunction. Spirit reminds me we are all going to die. And there ain't nothing I can do. I can feel sometimes I can't even tap into a lot of the world energy right now because it is so grieved. I can feel collective grieving and it hurts to touch. If I were the kind of necromancer that wanted to use that kind of energy. But it hurts. Some people do. Some people tap into that. I should tell you, they do. Collective grief has a power to it. a power that draws in sociopaths. It doesn't always manifest the way you'd think. Sometimes it manifests by those who stand to make money off the pain and suffering of others, genuinely not caring that they are going to profit off the pain and suffering of others. And it is that simple. It doesn't have to be a magic spell. It is their intent for greed off the suffering of others, and it manifests in this life through that. All I can do is pray that the gods give me enough resources to get through whatever I gotta get through and take it from there. Ain't nobody dead today.
All of the extra music for my podcast is my father, the great musician, Rex Stratton, and you can find him on Spotify, on YouTube, or wherever you get your music. Give him a listen. It'll make his year. Thanks so much. This is Hannah with Graveyard Gatherings.
All of the extra music for my podcast is original music from my dad, Rex Stratton, and you would make his year if you gave any of his music a listen on YouTube or Spotify. Today's song is near and dear to my heart, one of my favorites. I picked it because I love it so much. Rollin' the Clover Rover from his first album, Santa at the Gulag. This has been Graveyard Gatherings. See you at the next one.